Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, would you read along with me the title of our morning sermon, When Doubts Come. Based on our gospel reading, Matthew 11, especially finding our theme in verse 2 that reads, When John the Baptizer heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? This morning I invite you to turn your worship folder over and find the sermon outline as together we consider our theme, When Doubts Come. You know, I'm sure you can claim this in your life. I sure claim it in mine. Things just always aren't as they should be. Sometimes surprises come our way. When the world-famous scientist Albert Einstein was on the lecture circuit, giving his lecture about his famous theory of relativity, you know the old equation, E equals MC squared, he was driven to all his lecture dates by a chauffeur. Beautiful cap, beautiful jacket. He drove him wherever he went. After about 6 months of doing this, the chauffeur turned to Einstein and said, Dr. Einstein, I've heard your theory on relativity so many times, I've got it memorized. I bet I could deliver it myself. Einstein said, sure, I'll give you the chance to do just that. The next city we're going to, the people have never met me. I'll wear your chauffeur's cap and jacket. You introduce yourself as me, and you give the lecture. And he did. The chauffeur gave the lecture flawlessly. But at the end of the lecture, a professor in the back raised his hand and asked a very complex mathematical question. The quick-thinking chauffeur said, The answer to your question, sir, is so simple. I'm surprised you even asked the question. To show you how simple the answer is, I'll invite my chauffeur to come up and he can answer the question for you. Things just aren't always as they should be, are they? Sometimes surprises come our way. Like how we find John the Baptizer in our gospel reading for today, filled with doubts. While in prison, he sent others to go for Jesus. And he said, please ask Jesus this question. Did you hear the question he said? Jesus, are you really the Christ? Or should we look for somebody else? John, the baptizer, doubting. Now that's a surprise. This is John the Baptizer, that mighty man of God, that fearless prophet, that hellfire and brimstone preacher, that spokesman for God, calling people to repentance, that one of whom the prophet said he'll come preparing the way of the Lord. And here John is, doubting about Jesus. John the Baptizer had his doubts about Jesus. And sometimes, so do we. John the Baptizer was in prison when he doubted. Let me ask you this morning, what is the prison of your doubts? Does it have to do with finances? With health? With family? With the future. John was imprisoned by wicked King Herod in a fortress dungeon. He was soon to be killed as Herod commanded John's head to be chopped off of his body. And as he awaits his fate, John has visitors. And John sends these visitors to go ask Jesus a question. Are you really the Christ? This same Jesus John had doubts about that he'd given his life to serve. You see, in John's life, there seemed to be a difference between reality and expectations. Things just weren't for John as they should be. John the baptizer had preached with great passion about the coming of the Christ. He declared him to be a holy judge, a mighty Lord, one before whom all sinners would quake with fear. But what was Jesus doing? He was healing the sick, loving the outcast, forgiving the sinner. John may well have been thinking, things just aren't what they should be with this Messiah. You see, John the Baptist's problem was a matter of timing. Jesus will come at the end of the world as a holy God, a mighty judge, an almighty one in which all sinners will bow before him. But not yet. Before the great and awful day of judgment, Jesus came to save sinners, not to judge them. John's timing and his expectations didn't match with God's. And John began to have his doubts. My friends, let's look honestly into our own hearts. When our timing and expectations don't match with God's, we too can have our doubts. But John took his doubts to Jesus. And so can we. We read again in verses 2 and 3, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the one who's to come? Or shall we look for another?" John had his doubts, and so did we. But what did John do? While in prison, John did not keep his doubts to himself. He did not let his doubts fester into an infection of fear and unbelief. He sent his friends to Jesus with questions. And what did Jesus do? Did you notice? What did Jesus do? Jesus did not reject John or his doubts. My friends, Jesus will not reject you or your doubts either. When things aren't as they should be, Jesus stands with us and he stands for us. Do you really think that our precious Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins and rose for your everlasting life, would let something like your doubts or your fears ever separate you from him? No way. And Jesus responded to John's confession of doubts in three ways. Look at your sermon outline. Look at Roman numeral 2 in your sermon outline. Jesus does three things. He assures, he blesses, and he defends. First, Jesus assures. In verses 4 and 5, we read, "And Jesus answered them, 'Go back and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them.'" Jesus lovingly reminds John of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 35, the Old Testament reading Ian just read for us this morning. In that ancient prophecy, Isaiah foretells what the coming Christ will do when he comes. And Jesus fulfilled the words of the promise item by item. Jesus here assures John that he is the one Isaiah foretold. But Jesus also added one item that Isaiah didn't mention. Did you catch it? Here Jesus speaks a word of assurance that we need to hear and that John in prison needed to hear as well. Jesus added these words. "And when the Messiah comes," Jesus says, "the dead will be raised." This would be a welcome word of assurance to John. Why? Because as you recall, as you heard me say earlier, John in prison was facing his own soon coming death. Jesus hereby assures John that for the believer, death is not the end. What do you think we have been celebrating over these last 2 months in our congregation? It has been a challenging month or two for this congregation. In God's kindness, He has taken to Himself Harold Boucher, Evelyn Tweedy, Ron Adams. And this Saturday, we have the celebration and send-off for our dear Pearl Garland. Jesus says to John, and Jesus says to us today, for the Christian, death is not the end. Death does not have the last word. My friends, death is surely the last and greatest enemy every one of us will face. But here, Jesus assures us He raises the dead. He raised Lazarus from his tomb. On the day of the resurrection of all flesh, He will raise John the Baptist. Jesus Himself would soon rise from His own grave of death, victorious. And you who put your trust in Him can thumb your nose at the last enemy death and say with Jesus, because He lives, I shall live also. Jesus assures John the Baptist. What does He do next? What does it say on your outline? Next, Jesus blesses him. In verse 6, Jesus says to John, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Notice Jesus says, blessed is the one who puts his faith in me and is not offended by his association with me, no matter what others in their lives may say and do to them. This is Jesus' way of blessing John, of saying to John, John, I know that you will not fall away from me. My love for you cannot be destroyed by your fears or your doubts or by the attacks you suffer by those who imprison you and will take your life. What good news this is for John. What a word of blessing it is for John. My friends, what a word of blessing it is for you and me today, right now, in this place. Give ear, look forward, receive God's blessing where Jesus says to you, blessed are you who is not offended by me, no matter what others around them say or do. Jesus assures, Jesus blesses. What's the next thing He does? Look at your outline. Jesus defends. You know, it's probably likely that some people's respect and esteem for John went down when they heard of his doubts. But Jesus here defends John. He does more than just defend John. He brags about John to the crowds. Listen to what Jesus says in the next verses. Jesus spoke to the crowds. What'd you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A prophet? I tell you, more than a prophet. This is He of whom it is written by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, I send my messenger. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptizer. Wow. Jesus both defends John and He brags about him. Oh, how Jesus loved John. Oh, how Jesus loves you. When that liar, that accuser, the devil tempts you or accuses you of not being what you should be, of not doing what you should do, admit it. Say, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I am not all that God has made me to be, but yes, I have a mighty Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, my Lord. He has forgiven me. He loves me. And devil, if you have a complaint against me, you take it up with Jesus, my Savior. He is the master of my life. He has defeated you. He has defeated death. He has defeated sin. If you want to get at me, you have to go through him first. In fact, this is basically just what Jesus says in verse 11 of our text. He brags about John, even in the midst of his doubts. He says that John the Baptist is great. But did you hear whom Jesus says is greater than John the Baptist? He says, you and I are. Listen to the text. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptizer. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What does he mean by that? The answer is found two chapters later in Matthew 13. Listen to these words, please. These are Jesus' words about you. Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see and didn't see it. They long to hear what you hear and they did not hear it. Jesus says, as great as John the Baptizer and all the Old Testament prophets were, for them, the cross of Good Friday, the empty tomb of Easter was only a future hope. They never got to firsthand see and know these wonders. But you and I today, who have put our faith in Jesus, our Savior, have seen and do know what they only hope for. We know that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. So Jesus calls us. Believe it or not, Jesus calls you and me greater than John the Baptizer. So when in doubt, what are we to do? Take one last glance at your sermon outline, please. At the bottom of the outline, by the example of John the Baptizer, Jesus has taught us three things. Number one, don't keep your doubts buried deep in your own heart. But secondly, bring them to your loving Lord by yourself or with the help of other believers in prayer and even your pastor. And thirdly, always know that Jesus will never turn you away. His cross and his empty tomb is his blood-bought guarantee of that. These days, if you drive by or walk by our home in Steveston, you'll see a large cross in our window. It's a large cross all lit up with Christmas lights. Now, people may wonder, and some have asked me, why do you put up a cross at Christmas? Well, all that Jesus was about, all that he spoke to John the Baptizer in prison about, all our church and our personal faith is about, all that Christmas is finally all about, is Jesus Christ crucified and risen for all sinners. God's gift at love in that Bethlehem's manger at Christmas. The love of a Savior who was born there. He was born there so that one day he might die on the cross for your sins and rise from the tomb for you. My friends, Jesus loved John the Baptizer. Even while he was in prison with all his doubts, Jesus loves the world. And please never forget, Jesus loves you also. Of this, you need have no doubt. In the name of Jesus, amen.